above with blustery west winds. For the overnight, mostly cloudy skies, will be close to 10 below zero. Right now, it's 2 below.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A Des Moines Register poll shows more than half of first-time likely Republican caucus-goers in Iowa support former President Donald Trump. But on the eve of the caucuses, the major question is how the weather is going to affect turnout.
With sub-zero temperatures expected tomorrow, it's likely going to be the coldest Iowa caucus night.
I've thought about not going.
So with the weather outside, do you think it's going to deter you at all from going on Monday?
No, I'm going to go.
I think it's important for everyone to go out and do their part.
According to the National Weather Service, the previous record was set in 2004 when temperatures did not get any higher than 16 degrees.
That's ABC's Ann Wynn in Des Moines. The cold weather having a national impact in Oregon, where there are ice storm warnings. The weather's being blamed for three deaths. Two Navy SEALs are missing in the Gulf of Aden off the coast of Somalia after an operation where they tried to board a ship. This is ABC News. The National Transportation Safety Board is going to investigate two crashes involving the Brightline high-speed train in Florida. It's killed three people in the last week at the same railroad crossing in Melbourne, Florida. A study published in the journal JAMA Pediatrics finds that a high number of teen girls are reporting using diet pills and laxatives.
The study analyzed 90 smaller studies worldwide, focusing on teen girls and their use of diet aids to deal with their weight. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton.
And they found that 1 in 10 adolescent females are using some sort of a diet supplement, a laxative, or a diuretic, which is incredibly concerning because not only can it have medical effects, but it can have lasting psychological effects.
Researchers concluded that the findings suggest interventions are needed to reduce the use of weight loss products in teen girls. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Experts encourage parents to watch for signs of a heightened focus on weight. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Studies show more than half of the U.S. Latino population lives in states with the highest impacts of climate change. A new report outlines how that's challenging their health, their livelihoods, and their cultural legacy. Here's Mike Moe.
The report from the Hispanic Access Foundation details those impacts. Conservation Program Manager Vanessa Munoz says Latinos in every state are experiencing challenges to their mental health and identity due to climate change.
Some places might suffer severe temperatures and others might be more exposed to flooding or to a lot of wildfires, which is often where a lot of the Latino communities reside.
In Wisconsin, the DNR says communities of color often bear the brunt of air pollution and extreme weather events fueled by climate change. And state health officials say Latinos are the fastest growing racial and ethnic population in Wisconsin. According to the Pew Research Center, 71% of Latino adults around the country say climate change already affects their local community. To promote what she calls a just transition towards a climate-friendly economy for all people, Munoz says the report includes a toolkit and policy recommendations to help communities better preserve their Latino heritage.
One of the ways it's joining groups and forces to really protect our lands and prevent that from expanding, to prevent further loss and damage, which is necessary in these times of climate change.
Latinos are projected to make up 30% of the U.S. population by 2050, and over half reside in states with the highest levels of climate change threats. The Hispanic Access Foundation released its cultural erosion report at the recent COP28 conference in Dubai. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
Stockbox is a program that provides healthy food every month to improve the diet and nutrition of lower-income seniors 60 and over. Monthly food packages include canned fruits, canned vegetables, cereal, canned and dry milk. If you would be interested in this program or if you have questions, please contact Cheyenne Litvinoff at 715-339-2158 or email cheyenne.litvinoff@co.price.wi.us.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
lesson learned for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks have one of the best teams in the NBA this year, but recently they went through a slump, losing four of their last five games. They may have hit rock bottom when they lost to the Jazz at home. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, the threes that we were giving up, and I know it. Some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
Then a few nights later, the Bucks turned things around, and they beat the top team in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics, by 33 points. Griffin on how to deal with a midseason slump.
You can't panic. You can't, you know, make excuses. You can't blame. You got to look at yourself in the mirror, and we did that. And, you know, from Giannis to Dame, Chris, Brooke, all those guys have been tremendous. Bobby Portis. In our meetings, so, you know, we stick together.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Water.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory in effect with wind chills as cold as 30 below zero at times. We'll see mostly cloudy skies. Our highs will average between 0 and 5 above with blustery west winds. For the overnight, mostly cloudy skies will be close to 10 below zero. Right now, it's 2 below.
This week on Viewpoints.
One of the things that is so important about science fiction is this confrontation with the present.
We cover an author who's paved the way for greater diversity in science fiction. Then...
They're a perfect democratic society. They take everybody's input and then they make a group decision and they thrive by each doing a little tiny bit of contribution and work.
We dive into the fascinating inner workings of bees. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
It looks like your luggage is over 50 pounds. Is there anything you can take out?
Oh, yeah. Let me just toss all these $20 bills.
Great. Let me grab you a trash can.
Stop. Instead of throwing money away, move some clothes into a carry-on. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get six times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
Not too long ago, science fiction was a genre completely dominated by white, male authors. And what's more, the characters reflected that demographic. However, today, readers enjoy a far more diverse universe due in large part to the first widely successful female African-American science fiction writer, Octavia E. Butler.
Historically, a lot of production was white male dominated, and if you think of Butler's life in particular, she was somebody who, you know, struggled to just make ends meet. She was working all sorts of factory and service jobs, getting up at 2 a.m. to write, trying to find a big break that only came for her fairly late in her life when she won the MacArthur Grant. For most of her life, she was the only black woman who was making a living writing science fiction, and is widely credited for the explosion of particularly black women science fiction writers that we have now, but as well as just diversifying the genre in general, and has been an amazing inspiration to many of the best writers working today.
That's Jerry Canavan, assistant professor of 20th and 21st century literature at Marquette University and author of Octavia E. Butler, an installment of the Modern Masters of Science Fiction series. According to Canavan, few sci-fi authors before Butler and another science fiction writer of color, Samuel Delaney, ever imagined a world where blacks, Hispanics, or Asians might also live. Even Butler's editors at one time raised objections to her writing about characters of color unless they were purple.
Both Butler and Samuel Delaney had lots of versions of this question that they encountered from different types of editors. who felt that they shouldn't include people of color in their science fictions because then the entire story would become about race rather than about the ideas or about the future or about the technology or anything else. So once you inject race into the story, the history of white and black in the real world, people can't think about anything else. And her position in the piece we excerpt in my book is that, well, let's think about those things. Why should we stop thinking about those things? They're very important and they matter.
Butler addressed this issue in a seminal article titled Lost Races of Science Fiction.
She's writing about this difficulty she had in kind of interjecting herself into science fiction as a genre that didn't necessarily want to talk about race very much. And if it did, it wants to allegorize it as being about purple aliens from some other planet. And so she didn't like this kind of sense of erasure at all. She said, you know, we need to talk about real issues in science fiction, including race. You can't just erase this question. And so much of her work was in part about writing herself and people like her into a future that didn't necessarily have a ton of place for them.
For example, in her most famous book titled Kindred, she writes about time travel.
She's writing in part about how different it is for a black woman to go back in time than a white man. A white man can go back in time and kind of see the past as an empty space to be conquered or a way to use his knowledge of the future to gain advantage. But a black woman who goes back in time sees herself at risk of being enslaved. So that story kind of turns time travel fantasy on its head in this kind of incredibly clever way. And so much of her stories do that. She has a vampire novel. She has an alien invasion novel. She has a kind of novel about mutants who take over the world in the future. And in all of these stories, you see how her status as a black woman transforms what are otherwise the kind of obvious assumptions of science fiction in a way.
Canavan says thanks to Butler, the genre has made progress toward diversification.
We're kind of getting away finally from this assumption that everything has to be anchored from the perspective of white men. And you also see a science fiction genre that is now able to, you know, in some fundamental way, market itself to populations that aren't white and male. And so some of the projects that she worked on in her life, like she had attempted to put together an anthology of black science fiction writers, and it never came together for a variety of reasons. Now we see this kind of proliferation of writers, of not just black writers, not just writers of color, but writers from all kind of orientations and identity categories now being able to publish their science fiction.
The African-American female writer N.K. Jemisin has won 2 Hugo Awards back-to-back, the first time any author has done that in 25 years. Butler herself won all the major awards in science fiction, including the Hugo and Nebula Awards.
So you're seeing this kind of explosion of interest in diverse perspectives that's getting better and better. It's not quite to where parity would be, but there's been a massive improvement. I think if Butler were still alive, she'd be really amazed. We're also seeing finally some of Butler's work being optioned for television, including her series Dawn.
In her work, Butler grapples with the concept of otherness and explores how people with different ideas and different orientations can come together.
Across science fiction history and her stories too, when you meet the aliens, you don't know if you're going to murder them or make love to them, right? I mean, that's like the classic kind of Star Trek paradigm, that she was a big Star Trek fan and loves those kinds of stories. And so there's this desire to encounter something that's truly different from you, and also this kind of terrified fear of what it would mean to meet something different or to become something different. And so many of her stories are dealing with that.
The popularity of blockbuster franchises like Star Wars, Star Trek, and Guardians of the Galaxy proves that the world loves science fiction. Fans love to speculate about what human societies in the future or in alternate worlds might be like. But it's the characters we love that make the stories relatable.
One of the things that is so important about science fiction is this confrontation with the present, right? This sense that, you know, since the Industrial Revolution and the various technological revolutions that have come since, we're constantly trying to catch up to the present, right? It seems the world is changing so often, and science fiction gives us a vocabulary to think about that. So the ideas are certainly important, but without the characters and the kind of one-to-one identification that people get, you really don't have a genre that functions, right? I mean, the characters are so important, and that's why the diversification and representation of these stories is so important, that finally all sorts of different people can kind of see themselves in the future in a way they hadn't been able to before. And that's what was so important to Butler and the other Afrofuturist writers, to depict a future that wasn't just all white and all male.
Even though Butler died in 2006 at the age of 58, her work constantly attracts new readers.
She seems to speak so directly to our present that I think people really are constantly discovering her. Every day on Twitter, I see new people finding her and having their minds blown.
To learn more about this topic and our guest, Jerry Canavan, head to viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment originally aired in May 2019 and was written by Polly Henson. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, we speak with a fifth-generation beekeeper about the trade and what humans can learn from bees when Viewpoints returns.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver Plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. So add those human pawns, I mean loved ones, and save money. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it. Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Get four lines on Silver Unlimited for $25 per line per month, plus taxes and fees. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Denise has been playing jazz for 40 years. Last concert, one of the musicians fell sick with RSV. Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is a highly contagious virus that can lead to breathing problems. This time, she's choosing to help protect herself with Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo. Abrysvo is a vaccine for the prevention of lower respiratory tract disease caused by respiratory syncytial virus, RSV, in adults 60 years of age and older. Abrysvo is not for everyone and may not protect all who receive the vaccine. Don't get Abrysvo if you've had a severe allergic reaction to its ingredients. People with a weakened immune system may have a decreased response to Abrysvo. The most common side effects are tiredness, headache, pain at the injection site, and muscle pain. Ask your pharmacist or doctor about Pfizer's RSV vaccine, Abrysvo, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine. For full prescribing information, please call 1-844-989-7284 or visit Abrysvo.com. Brought to you by Pfizer. Year between spring and summer, we have swarm season, a unique yearly rite of passage for hundreds of thousands of bees.
Swarm season is when bee colonies naturally divide, and that's when you'll see a huge cloud of bees in the air, or when they hang in a big cluster off a tree branch or the eave of your house. And that's when our phone would ring all the time with people calling with swarms in their yards. And so that was fun.
Meet Meredith May, award-winning journalist and author of The Honey Bus, a memoir of loss, courage, and a girl saved by bees.
We would have to drop everything and hop in the truck and race to go get them because they don't hang that long in between homes. A swarm is on its way to a new home that it's discovered. So you have to catch them in time. So it's looks really dramatic, but it's actually a really safe time to handle bees. You have to bring an empty hive box, and you have to reach the swarm either by a ladder, or sometimes when you're lucky, it's within reach. And you can just saw the branch off or shake the bees into the box. The trick is you've got to get the queen, because once you have the queen, all the bees will come to her. And the reason they're easy to handle at that time is because they've eaten a lot of honey in preparation for their trip, so they're very full and lethargic, and they're less likely to sting you.
May was a little girl at the time, living in Big Sur, California, with her grandmother and grandpa, who was a fourth-generation beekeeper.
I was four, my little brother was two. We lived in Rhode Island because my dad was in the Navy. My mom is very volatile. I remember a lot of dishware flying in the house. So it was after one of these big fights, shortly thereafter, I was on a plane. And when the plane landed, we were in California. And we being my mother, my brother, and I. My dad stayed behind. we moved in with my grandparents, and the three of us moved in my mother's childhood bedroom, and that's where we were for pretty much the next decade. That was our living arrangement.
Her mother spiraled into major depression and basically didn't get out of bed for the next several years. May draws many parallels to her life as a child and the behavior of bees.
When the queen leaves, the bees become visibly anxious. Like within 10 or 15 minutes, they'll start to smell the queen pheromone is gone. And they'll get really visibly agitated, and you can see it. They look like they're itchy, and they shake, and they run around. They're actually looking for her. So hives have personalities, and they also have moods, and you can sense this and see this. So, for example, I can open a hive that was comfortable, humming along, not aggressive 1 week, and then the next week I open it, and it's totally different, and I can say, I think they lost some queen, just by the way that they're behaving.
Though she and her brother ran wild and got into plenty of trouble, the world of beekeeping mesmerized May from the moment she first arrived at her grandparents' home.
The honey bus is an old World War II army bus, and it's green, and it's rusting from the rain, and there's no engine in it, and it's permanently marooned in Grandpa's backyard. And that's his honey house. He gutted it. He took all the seats out and he put his honey factory inside. That's where he bottles honey. And it was kept locked to keep little hands out of it. And I was just fascinated by it. I wanted to see what it was like in there. Grandpa would work in there at night, or really all day into the night. And his friends would join him from Big Sur, and I would sit in the weeds and kind of watch and just watch them laughing and making honey and drinking beer. And it held like this Willy Wonka fascination over me. I wanted to see what was going on in there.
You've probably seen beehives while driving in the country. They're those stacks of white boxes standing in a field or under trees. One stack is one colony, and each colony has one queen. A beekeeper inspects beehive frames to make sure the queen is healthy. May says she's easy to spot because all the worker bees huddle around her like petals on a daisy.
Bees have various jobs inside the hive, but all the jobs are done by female worker bees. The male drones don't do anything. Their job is just to mate occasionally. So what you're looking at are female bees keeping a protective circle around her. It's kind of like parting the crowds for a rock star. So they're just making sure she can walk around and find a place to lay an egg. And they feed her and bring her water. She can't feed herself, so they make sure she can eat. And they keep her warm at night. They cuddle her. In a beehive, it holds 8 frames per box. And the 2 bottom boxes are bigger. That's where the nursery is. That's where the queen lays eggs. So she's going to be in one of the 2 bottom boxes. I know at least that much. So I have 16 frames to look at to find her. The boxes above the nursery are a little shorter, and those are called honey supers, and that's where their pantry is. That's where they store their honey.
May learned many life lessons from bees, like what unconditional parental love and generosity look like.
One time, we were beekeeping and it started to rain, and we had one of those nursery frames in our hand. It was honeycomb with eggs inside the honeycomb. All of a sudden, all the nurse bees, whose job it is to feed the babies, all of them lined up, all facing the same direction, and they interlocked their wings. And it looked like a corn cob, and they were protecting the eggs from the rain, and their wings were connected like Spanish roof tiles. It was the most amazing thing. Like, how did they communicate that to each other? How did they do it so quickly when our eyes were off of them for a second? And that they put themselves in harm's way for the babies, I think, was a beautiful thing for me to see. It's the exact opposite of a dysfunctional family. That's why I loved it as a kid.
Tragically, today's industrial, large-scale beekeeping creates dysfunctional, stressed-out bees. Besides pesticides, May believes it's another reason bees are in big trouble.
People who have thousands and thousands and thousands of hives put them on semi-trailers and truck them around the country following the bloom at, you know, major orchards. And it's stressful for the bees to be constantly moving because each time they're put in a new farm, they have to reorient and figure out where they are. And then they're forced to pollinate a monocrop. So imagine you or I having to eat a hot dog every day for a month, and then having to eat a hamburger every day for a month, and we'd get sick too.
May's grandfather sought to be of service to the bees, to provide a sanctuary for them, and to only take their honey when there was a surplus.
If you treat them well, you will get a bountiful surplus because bees have OCD. They work so hard. But one of the criticisms my grandfather had of industrial large-scale beekeeping that I share is that man has this propensity to take nature and force it to work for him or her. And when you do that, you destroy the thing that's bringing you joy and money, and it never works out well in the end.
There are many books on the market about how to raise bees. May wanted to write something different.
Obviously, we can't lose our bees when they pollinate a third of the food grown on the planet. I mean, people understand that. And I didn't really want to repeat that conversation, but what I wanted to talk about was the moral necessity of bees. Their social structure, the way they care for one another, has not changed over the last 100 million years. So they must be doing something right. They're a perfect democratic society. They take everybody's input and then they make a group decision. And the group decision is for the betterment of the whole. And they thrive by each doing a little tiny bit of contribution and work.
As a fifth-generation beekeeper, May continues to care for her family's progeny of bees. You can learn more about this topic and our guest, Meredith May, by heading to viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in May 2019 and was written by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Points returns in just a moment.
Did you know that feeling sluggish or weighed down could be a sign that your digestive system isn't working at its best? Taking Metamucil every day can help. Metamucil fiber powders help promote your daily digestive health using a plant-based fiber called psyllium. The gelling action of this special fiber traps and removes waste so you can feel lighter and more energetic. Metamucil, promoting digestive health for a better you. Learn more at Metamucil.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Keeping in line with last week's episode, we're continuing with our best of breakdown. Last week, we covered the word authentic, which was crowned the word of 2023 by dictionary giant Merriam-Webster. But as many of us know, they're not the only wordsmith in town. Hop across the pond, and the word of the year, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, is Riz. Now, apart from a couple of our Gen Z writers, most of us at Viewpoints had no idea what the word was until we did some research. It's a noun, and the formal definition is someone who holds style, charm, or attractiveness, the ability to attract a romantic or sexual partner. Apparently, you need a whole lot of riz to stand out from the crowd these days. Essentially,
Riz is just a shortened, more zippy form of the word charisma. If you're feeling overly confident, it can also be used as a verb. Oxford notes that a common phrase is to riz up, which means to attract, seduce, or chat up a person. Right behind riz, some of the other finalists for the Oxford Word of the Year were swifty, situationship, and prompt. No idea what a situationship is, but now we're curious. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. The promise of streaming once seemed like it would usher in a new era where virtually every movie and every TV show would be available at the push of a button at any time. People believed that every Disney title would live on Disney Plus, every classic Warner Brothers movie would be on HBO Max, now Max, and Netflix and Prime Video would acquire and build libraries of their own. Like seemingly everything with streaming, though, that dream seems like a facade. In September 2023, CNBC reported that Netflix is the only streamer that's been able to turn a profit. Every other streaming service has been operating at a loss, and as a result, some of those library titles have begun to disappear. Disney removed a bunch of titles from its service, including Artemis Fowl, Black Beauty, and Willow. Max has removed streaming originals like Love Life, Generation, and An American Pickle, and those are just the tip of the iceberg. In December, there was a moment when the award-winning hit series Watchmen seemed to disappear from Max's servers too, which was later said to be a mistake and the show was restored to the platform. But even that little accident showed just how easily streaming titles can disappear, maybe forever. Which is why it's led some fans and filmmakers to get back on the bandwagon of physical media. When Oppenheimer came to 4K, Blu-ray, and DVD, director Christopher Nolan told fans to buy the physical copies so that, and I quote, "no evil streaming service can come steal it from you." Oppenheimer quickly became a bestseller upon its release, selling out in so many retailers that Universal had to put out a message that they were working to replenish the movie on shelves ahead of the holidays. While the popularity of Oppenheimer is likely more of an outlier than the rule, it still shows that for many fans around the world, physical media may just be regaining its importance in an era of corporate consolidation and straight-to-streaming originals being unceremoniously erased. I'm Evan Rook.
Getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
The last time that time near.
country. listen online at 98qcountry.com.
Solo main, don't need no champagne, poppin' entertainment. Take her to Wendy's, can't keep her off me. She wanna dip it like them fries in her frosting. But every now and then when I get paid, I gotta spoil my baby with enough pay. Hey. Yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got to Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shack, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam. Squeak, squeaking in the truck bed all the way home. Some Alabama jam, she my Dixieland delight. That's how we do, how we do. Fancy like on my lips without the scalding them. Yeah, she probably gonna be keeping some Victoria's Secrets. Maybe a little Maybelline, but she don't need it. In the kitchen light radio slows down. Box wine and her updo goes down. Ay, yeah, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night. Got that Bourbon Street steak with the Oreo shake and some whipped cream on the top too. Two straws, one shack, girl, I got you. Bougie like Natty. See my Dixieland alike. That's how we do, fancy light.
Your favorites, your classics, your country. 98 Q Country.
Thank you.
time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Start learning a new language today at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Yeah, we're replacing the carpets too, so don't worry about that.
No fresh powder yet, but Dan's Ski Lodge has an avalanche of projects.
Those 4 rooms are getting hot tubs.
He needs a staff engineer to navigate a flurry of new requests.
And all of those will be fully ADA accessible.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the type of music we like.
Turn it up.
98Q Country.
Just throw it on out. I'm talking you and me.
same street name, same last name, same everything. It's a real thing, a how feel thing. So I'ma go on and take a swing.
QCountry.com.
Feel it, jump off the ledges, burn on the bridges, walk on the edges. I'm feeling, don't mind the shadows, take all the arrows, brown.
things get easy as long as you keep me just square in the middle of your arms. Cause I'm fearless, I jump off the ledges, burn all the bridges, walk on the edges. I'm fearless, I don't mind the shadows, take all the arrows, ride in the cold. And I don't mind the night, I don't mind the fight, even if I lose, I got this hell, I'll die there. I'm fearless, except when it comes to you. When it comes to you.
Fleet Farm has everything you need for happy backyard birds. And we mean everything, like over 100 different types of wild bird foods and bird feeders. This week, get a 25-pound bag of black oil sunflower wild bird food for just $13.99. Plus, join us Saturday, January 13th at 9 a.m. to build and decorate a free birdhouse with your kids. Create family memories and find what you need for everyday life at Fleet Farm.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing